Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Welcome to the Bistro podcast. I'm your host, Elena Spinola. As we look forward to a new year, advances in technology and science look very promising for new adventures in space travel. In fact, commercial flights may soon be available for those dreaming of exploring outer space and beyond. Space travel for recreational, leisure, and business purposes may have seemed like a distant and futuristic fantasy, but our guest today is here to share more on this not-too-distant reality of space tourism. Dr. Ravi Chatterjee is a Director of Advanced Programs and Innovation at the Office of Commercial Space Transportations at the Federal Aviation Administration. Ravi has a long history in the aerospace field. He is a former Air Force pilot with over 3,000 hours of flight time, including 750 hours of combat experience. He is also a former rocket engineer and launched the first GPS satellites, as well as engineering support for NASA's International Space Station. Ravi, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks a lot, Elaine. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for that exceedingly kind introduction. Just an honor to be here and spend time with you.
Sure. Well, we are grateful because this is an exciting topic as we hear in a new year and a new frontier. Ravi, can you share a little bit about your background and then also in your position as a Director of Advanced Programs and Innovation? Can you tell us more about your role and what your office does in the area of commercial space transportation?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, my objective today is to turn this from a podcast into a nerdcast.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've got props. You can't see me on this podcast, but I'm wearing this really cool jacket that Ravi lent me. We're all dressed up, and he's got props here.
Hey, you've
got
to get the mojo going before you get up in the air. But a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Minnesota. I went to the Air Force Academy, and one of my first jobs in the Air Force was to launch Delta II rockets, which put up the first GPS constellation. So back in the day, rockets only went one way, and they rarely came back. A lot of times, their components burned up in the atmosphere, and they deposited the spacecraft in on orbit. And as I have gone through my career, things have changed. These days, rockets go backwards. They come back and land. They get dropped from aircraft, and they fly sideways, upside down, right side up, and do all kinds of crazy things. Mm-hmm. So my job at the Federal Aviation Administration is to look out into the future and take a look at what types of technology are available or push into new realms that allow us to enable a budding aerospace industry. So the aerospace industry is really a national gem that a lot of folks don't know about.
Sure.
It sustains over 12 million jobs in the United States. It's consists of 3% of our total GDP and is our number one manufacturing export. So that's something that our listeners, I think, would be very, very interested in knowing.
Absolutely.
And right now, we are in the midst of a revolution in commercial space.
That is exciting. Tell us more about this revolution. What do you see as the future of space tourism?
Well, the future of space tourism is in somewhat technical, but in other ways, not. On the technical side, we're coming up with new ways of accessing space and getting on orbit. Advances in additive manufacturing or 3D printing, as most people know about it, are enabling small launchers to access low Earth orbit and do that on a regular basis. So rockets are actually getting smaller, and so are their payloads with advances in computing.
Well, you brought something here today. Is this sort of, people can't see it, but you can describe it. Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm showing in front of you is called the Electron Rocket, made by a company called Rocket Labs, and it's actually only about 100 feet long. It's not as big as the rockets we're traditionally used to, but it meets the need for a market that can access low Earth orbit. So the small launcher community is being enabled by new technologies, and as a result, startups and investors are getting really, really interested in this this ability to access space on a more frequent basis, to the tune of over $300 billion a year in investments.
Wow.
Globally.
Wow. Yeah. So I think you've kind of answered. And let's move into the next question, because it is telling us about those advances in technology that has allowed for humans and commerce in general to travel into space. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, the future is really, really bright. In the past, it was traditionally a governmental activity to access space. We're all familiar with NASA and the amazing work that goes on in there and the amazing things that they've done to advance our nation's space program. In recent decades, though, the commercial space industry has wanted to take on some of those activities. Companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin are now coming up with the ability to access space and humans. So they regularly send cargo to the space station and support our astronauts on orbit. And that's a capability that's growing and growing. So as we do this more, back in the day, like I said earlier, spacecraft, there was only one or two spacecraft that gave us the ability, and it was primarily a governmental activity like the space shuttle.
Right.
These days, now we have upwards of six vehicles that are in development, everything from the Boeing Starliner to the Space Launch System and Orion. And these activities, and of course, the SpaceX Dragon has been one of the most prolific in this activity. So in the next few years, we're going to see commercial human spaceflight endeavors move forward.
That is crazy to think about. But again, as you're here to share, kind of potentially sooner than we all might really think. And that's so exciting. And that's why we really appreciate you being here, this with our listeners, because we are the general consuming public. Yeah. We are the lay people, and you're here to, you know, share your expertise around that, which is really, really exciting. You shared some of the earlier challenges, right? Rockets would just go up and explode, and that was it. Now they're doing all of these other amazing things thanks to technology. But what challenges still exist?
Well, tell you what, as we think about space tourism going forward, we also have to understand the human limitations of flying at high altitudes. Traditionally, astronauts were in incredible physical shape, and they went through a rigorous academic and physical preparation to prepare them for the challenges of spaceflight. Now, think about that for a tourist. Ensuring the public has access to space is going to involve all types of physiologies and physical capabilities to ensure that all have the opportunity to access this new frontier. And one of the things that I brought with me to give you a feel for it is this helmet that I flew with in the Air Force. Now, this is the type of life support that will be required to fly at high altitudes on various suborbital missions with companies like Virgin Galactic. Mm-hmm. As you can see, you would need to pressure breathe because the air is a lot thinner at higher altitudes, and that would enable you to do things like withstand high Gs.
Sure.
And so the types of things that we're going to be looking at in the future is doing research on making sure that all types of folks, not just the physical specimens like astronauts, have the opportunity to fly in the space. So can I fly in space with a bum knee or some other condition? Yeah, we know. We don't know. We need to do some research in that front, which is why I brought this helmet to give you a little bit of taste of what that might look like.
That's so great. Thank you for bringing that. I wish people could see. We're taking some pictures here, so hopefully you can find those online somewhere. But that's very cool. What are you seeing right now in terms of the numbers of commercial space launches?
Yep. If there's any indicator that we are in the midst of a revolution, it would be this. Last year, the Federal Aviation Administration licensed a little over 30 launch and reentry activities in the fiscal year. The interesting thing is that we broke our all-time record in the third quarter. And so we have indicators now that that's going to continue in the foreseeable future. So preparing for that, ensuring that we have regulations that aren't constricting the types of launch activities that are going on is going to be hugely important. So we've launched a rulemaking activity to streamline our launch regulations to ensure that industry has the best opportunity to compete on a global scale. And if I were to give one example, it would be that in the future, the opportunity for a range of types of launches, such as small launchers, larger launch vehicles, and even the most unique types of reaching low Earth orbits, such as a company called Spin Launch that uses a centrifugal concept to make sure that a vehicle can spin its way up to orbit. So that's pretty exciting, but we have no regs today to cover that and ensure that they can be successful. So the one-size-fits-all technique has got to go,
right.
And we've got to think about streamlining opportunities, enabling the imagination of the industry without impeding it with the speed of government.
Sure. You mentioned several the industries, the opportunity for industries, and one I want to bring up is that space mineral exploration. It seems to be something that's surfacing as a real industry that might accelerate exploration of the solar system. Can you speak more about the space mineral exploration and kind of this idea that people are saying it might be like another gold rush?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are just now starting to scratch the surface of understanding the resources that are beneficial to society and can be accessed by space. The recent NASA OSIRIS-REx mission, which just did its approach to the Bennu asteroid, is now going to give us and bring back resources so we can understand how they can be used for the benefit of society. Of course, untapped resources on the moon, the existence of ice, it gives us the opportunity to think about when we go to the moon, can we utilize water in various ways? As you know, H2O, when you break it apart, produces various elements. And you can use that to your advantage in future missions to places like Mars.
Right.
So as you can see, it's all connected, and we expect more interest in this as we start to understand what those resources offer us going forward.
Very exciting. And kind of if I could ask, what other opportunities specifically do you predict that space travel will create for mankind?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think about this a lot, and it's really fun to do. We get so focused on the analytical aspect of and the technical aspect of accessing space that we don't necessarily step back and think about what it means for the human race in this particular endeavor. You know, when if you've ever heard of NASA's Voyager missions, when Voyager left our solar system, there was a physicist by the name of Carl Sagan who implored NASA to keep enough power to have Voyager take a picture of Earth as it was leaving the solar system.
Yeah.
And so what ended up resulting from that is a tiny speck in this big picture, which became known as the pale blue dot.
Pale blue dot.
Now that pale blue dot, when looked at and thought about the perspective it provides, it shows how we're so small and insignificant in the universe and there's so much to do. And that comes down to the heart of why we explore. It's in our nature as humans to seek exploration. And to me, space travel and space exploration is the ultimate expression of human freedom.
Sure.
And that's what really excites me about it. And one I believe will really yield a lot of understanding of not only the heavens, but who we are in general.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a really fascinating conversation. What a cool topic. We are so honored to have you here with us and sharing this great information. We hope that you can come back to the Bistro and share as these developments unfold and as we do start launching into space. How cool would it be to come back and share more about that? Ravi, where can our listeners learn more information like the information you shared with us here today?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to keep up with all the activity in commercial spaceflight, there's a lot of resources out there. I would recommend going to and accessing FAA social media, Federal Aviation Administration on Facebook, on Twitter. We give you up-to-date, minute-by-minute summaries of launches as they occur, as they come up, and what their results are. So feel free to get out on social media, check us out on our website, understand what we do, and by all means, if you're interested in pursuing a career in space or engineering or anything technical, we do everything from drones to airspace to aircraft certification. And we can find a career for you at the FAA. So if you're interested, especially our young folks out there, who are looking at STEM careers, take a look at our website and what we have to offer. Just a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Sounds
there.
Exciting. I feel like I want to. You've got me all excited, Ravi. I feel like I want to check out that website and see what's out there.
Come on down.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Thank you. The Better Business Bureau would like to thank Dr. Ravi Chaudhary for coming. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. The Better Business Bureau is deeply committed to building and advancing a better marketplace, a trusted marketplace for all, because trust always matters. For the Better Business Bureau and as your host of The Bistro, I'm Elena Spinola, and I thank you for listening. You can hear all of our episodes on iTunes. Just search The Bistro. Until next time, it's been my pleasure discussing better business and the topic of space travel with you.
You just enjoyed The Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.